Now we continue our conversation about conscience protections from the other side of the issue. We just heard from Chelsea Duffy from Wisconsin Right to Life, who said it makes legal sense to allow people to abstain from providing care or services based on religious convictions. But our next guest says that conscience protections won't just have an effect on people seeking abortion-related services. It could also have a negative impact on communities throughout the country, especially LGBTQ individuals. Laurie Cook-Daniels is the Program and Policy Director at Forge. That's an advocacy group for transgender individuals and their families. It's based in Milwaukee. Laurie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And what was your reaction to the news of these new guidelines from the Trump administration?
Well, those of us that are doing policy advocacy for the rights of LGBT people are very concerned about the new regulations or the proposed regulations, in part because they are so vague in many places. It looks like it may be possible not only for healthcare providers to say that they don't want to participate, but it's not clear that that right is not being extended to people like the receptionist in the doctor's office who just says to you, I'm not going to let you see the doctor. Or in one case that we had, a physician had scheduled a procedure for a transgender patient, and a hospital administrator decided the hospital would not do that procedure, even though the patient and the doctor said it was necessary. So the problem with this regulation is that it could open the door to a lot of anti-LGBT movements. And it's really important to remember that while it's religious rights are very important, and I would never want to force someone to participate in an abortion if they thought it was murder, but healthcare providers do many other things, some of them life-saving. And this regulation may open the door for, say, an ER doctor to say, I'm not going to serve you when you are there dying. So there's a question about magnitude here of, are we going to protect life or are we going to put religious objections over the right to living?
One concern I've seen brought up is specific to gender reassignment surgery, a physician or other healthcare provider being able to opt out of that. Is that a concern that you have?
Well, physicians are already deciding what procedures they will do or not do. There are extremely few physicians that will do gender reassignment surgeries, and they're all well-trained, the ones that do it. So it's not a case where they would be forced to do something they'd never done before and didn't want to do. Now, I do think that if someone is looking, a nurse or an orderly is looking for a job, I would suggest they not apply to a place that does gender reassignment surgery, those few places, if they really objected to it.
But it sounds like your bigger concern is that a healthcare provider, or as you say, some administrator on their staff, might refuse to provide any kind of service to someone whose lifestyle they disapprove of. Is that a concern?
That is yes, that is exactly my concern. And we've had many incidences of this. Over the last few years, we had a Michigan pediatrician that turned away a family because she said, I can't treat this child because the child had two mothers. We had a hospital that refused to give HIV medications to a person with HIV when he admitted that he had sex with other men. So these are just, I don't like your lifestyle, so I am not going to give you life-saving care. And that is a really big concern. One of our concerns with this particular regulation is it's coming out of an office that's headed by Roger Severino, who used to work for the Heritage Foundation and has made many, many, many anti-LGBT statements over the years, like LGBT is not normal, it's not biology, and he's written these regulations in a way that will allow healthcare providers to say, I will not treat you because I don't like your lifestyle.
Laurie Cook Daniels is with us from Forge, an advocacy group for transgender individuals and their families based in Milwaukee. We're looking at the Trump administration's new conscience protections. They're called for medical providers to be able to decline services, treatments based on religious and moral objections. We'll go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Katie is with us in Green Bay. Katie, hi.
Hi, thank you. I thought had some really great points here since I had called in. I've been listening on the line. I wanted to touch on the fact that I'm a nurse. I have been a nurse for several years, and in nursing school, we had a large portion of our training on ethics, and we're really focused on not inserting your moral belief on your patient or having it have any adverse effects to your care for a patient. So, if you had a rapist that walked in to the ER and I was the nurse serving the patient, I can't think about the fact that he may have done something awful. He deserves the same care as the woman who, he has raped. So, I wonder where ethics plays a part in this moral decision-making aspect.
Katie, thanks for the call. Laurie, your thoughts?
Well, that is an issue, is how do people that go into health professions and have ethical training and actually take oaths about what they will and won't do, how does that mesh up with regulations like these that say, well, your religious beliefs trump those. Your religious beliefs are more important than your healthcare professional beliefs. So that is an issue. I did want to talk about another thing that surprised me when these issues came up. I've worked on LGBT aging issues since the 70s, so I have seen a lot of discrimination against LGBT elders. And what I didn't recognize is that 85% of continuing care retirement centers are religiously affiliated. So if we start promoting the right of religiously affiliated healthcare providers and healthcare facilities to turn away LGBT people, we are going to have a lot of problem finding care for LGBT elders when they are most in need of it.
Katie, thanks for the call. Go next to Lee in Williams Bay. Lee, hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling just to say that I was listening earlier when Chelsea was speaking, and I got to tell you, I think she was out of her mind. If you're in a profession of health or pharmacy, you fill that doctor's orders. The pharmacists do not decide what the physician does, and I really think if these people can't fill the doctor's orders, then they should go and sell shoes. Thank you so much for all you do. I love your show.
Lee, thanks for the call. Laurie, as you mentioned, you, Laurie, are interested in making sure that people can observe their religious rights as much as possible. Is it possible we might be losing some talented healthcare providers because they have to do something that sometimes violates their religious principles?
LGBT people make up about 3% of the population. If these healthcare providers are feeling like they have to leave their profession because of the 3% of patients that they have moral objections to, I it's hard for me to cry crocodile tears for that. People need their health care. It's not like this is, you're ordering a newspaper or you're ordering a pizza. These are health care situations that are sometimes really, really critical. The other point that I wanted to make today is that the fear that gets placed on LGBT people when these kinds of systemic discrimination things come up is that people fear going into any healthcare office or any government service or accessing any services. Forge is an anti-violence organization, and we see over and over and over again people saying, I don't want to talk to law enforcement because they can discriminate against me. I don't want them to know that it was my same-sex partner that hit me, because then the government's going to know who I am. So how far these kinds of regulations reach is much farther than people think. It really affects how people live.
And Laurie, the new guidelines really specify things, it seems like, related to abortion, but there is a vague statement, including we're coerced into performing procedures that are against your religious or moral beliefs. So as this comes into practice, as challenges start being made, what are you watching for to see how this is going to affect, if it's going to affect, the LGBT community?
I will be watching for the incidents of people dying and the incidents of people saying, my doctor says that he doesn't have to treat me anymore. I'll be looking for those kinds of really major pieces of discrimination by people who are paid by federal tax money.
And have you heard from healthcare providers talking about how they will respond to this?
Well, I think we just heard one who cited her own ethical training. Certainly we're hearing from LGBT healthcare professionals about how worried they are, because they know what happens to people when they fear discrimination and when they've experienced discrimination.
We'll leave it there for now. Laurie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been talking to Laurie Cook-Daniels, Program and Policy Director at Forge. That's an advocacy group for transgender individuals and their families. It's based in Milwaukee. We've been talking about conscience protections in new guidelines from the Trump administration that could allow medical providers, healthcare providers, to opt out of providing services because of religious objections. We also heard an argument in favor of those new changes, the new guidelines from the Trump administration, from a representative of Wisconsin, Right to Life. And there's still time to hear from you. You can share your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page.